Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome, welcome. What a lovely day here in Zone 8, right smack in the middle of the southeastern part of the United States. Ah, yeah, feels good out there today. Not hot, not cold, not anything. Just go out and do what you got to do. But first, thank you for listening to the Garden Mama Show and for putting this in your pocket and taking it with you. I'm happy to say that every day, even in my own family, more and more people are acquiring devices that will allow them to listen to this program.
Even on the toaster.
Even on the toaster.
Before you know
it. Kind of scary, yeah. You know. But dog collars, I mean, anywhere you want to put that little device, it's fine with me. Let's go. Time to talk plants. Good morning, Lance. What's up?
Oh, you know, the usual. Happy to be here. Excited on another wonderful episode of the Garden Mama Show.
How many football games last night?
There were 130 or so. There were a couple.
That's only high school for those of you who are listening from Mars.
You know, it's always a kind of a sinking platform. You start and you know that you're whittling away
well,
at this.
Yes.
And time is going down. But, you know, you get that first 30 minutes where you don't really know what, if any of it is actually accurate. So you give it a little time to get involved because you don't want to report.
Are you saying it's live radio we just go?
You don't want to report the wrong stuff because there are a lot of people that listen that are, you know, they want to hear that score and you want to get it right. So, you know, that first 30 minutes is always fun. We get to pack a lot of kind of commentary. But after that,
it looked like a full house and lots of fun.
We had some guys from the Coast Inn. They were here for the Madison Central game, Gulfport crew. Mm-hmm. Harold and Hunter, and thank you if you are listening today for coming in and hanging out with us. We had a lot of fun. It's always good to get Super Talk family members in.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
We stream both the Madison Central and Gulfport games on the supertalk.fm platform, like we do so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And getting those guys to come in and hang out from Gulfport, it's really an honor to get to do that stuff.
Well, anytime I hear about all of that, I am reminded of, I don't even know what the person's name was, and I should, but there used to be people that spun plates in the air, and they ran up and down the stage, and there'd be like seven different things going on, and then there'd be ten, and
that's
somehow or
like
another,
that.
Keeping all of those plates in the air is work.
I think it's perfect for me because my mind does get a chance to bounce around a little bit on Friday night, because I mean, we're very scheduled in what we do during the week, and you know, Gallo is very, you know, the way he likes to do things, and you are, and so you know, it's nice to have a little bit of a free form Friday because you don't know what's going to happen.
The next score is going to show up, and you're going to have to say something, but who knows what? And that's why it's such a joyful, spontaneous bit of radio. That's what's so much fun about this. I don't know who's going to ask.
Right,
what.
I love that.
I don't know where the texts are going to come from, and that's really the most, you know, conversational radio is such a thing, and it has been now for quite some time, but it still has a lot of subtleties and nuances that make it a great joy to do.
And to learn, too. You're always learning.
I learn something every time I'm here.
Caleb is doing our production this year, and I want to pat him on the back because it is, you're juggling a lot. It's, people don't understand that even work here like those guys, what all we do here on Saturday with Garden Mama.
It's different.
You get a lot of imagery. You got a lot of interaction with our family, and that's what it's all about. And you get that on Friday night, too. You know, you get a lot of interaction with statewide audience. And again, I like to pat our listeners, our family on the back because, you know, I get to see guys and gals on Friday night that have posted a picture last Saturday to Garden Mama. And
exactly.
It makes everything so much smaller.
And of course, you know, because I'm sort of a nosy person, I do read back in people's. And oftentimes the thing right before this is something involving a high school football game.
It is this time of year. Right.
That's what it is.
But it is fun because we have great listeners and our family, you know, provides us with so much content, whether it's a football score or a beautiful image
or Trey
call.
Bringing us today that gardening is a medicine that does not need a prescription and has no limit on dosage. I'm telling you, today's going to be an overdose and tomorrow because there's so much to do and so much joy getting ready for the Bottle Tree Garden Tour. I like everything that's happening in my garden, particularly because it has been raining recently. You know, I tell you, it's a plant collection. Some of them do okay without water. Some of them not so much. So it's going to be, if you came to visit last year, and I so appreciate that, please come again this year. It's different. It's just another year in the garden.
Things change.
We'll be talking to one of the homeowners that has her garden on tour in the next hour. So stick around for that. That's going to be fun. This is a big deal. This whole business of, I have a cartoon that I've kept in my office for I don't even know how many years, but it's a woman, first panel is a woman. Oh, my zinnias are so lovely. I so appreciate that gardening is not competitive, you know, like football. And the next frame, of course, is her neighbor's zinnias, which are, shall we say, less. And she says, although on the other hand, it is nice to be the one with the better zinnias. And then we do that to one another. When you join us today at supertalk.tv, you will see my current hummingbird magnet, which is a Diplodina. They're known as stone flower or stone something. I don't even know. They're not sedums. They're not that sort of stone crop. But to me, they're nothing about a rock. It's actually, you know, a beautiful vine with big flowers and just really beautiful, lovely red colors. I'm into that. And because my calla lilies didn't bloom this year and I think are probably going to be leaves forever, I have put up a tile, my very favorite tile of calla lilies, because I can't show them to you today. They didn't make it. They're there. They have leaves, but they just don't, you know, they're not doing what they need to be doing for me. Really fun day in the garden, though. And yes, I know there's always more Doritos.
Oh, well, that's, I wanted to comment on that.
It is
deer season, and
yes.
Leave it to Trey to find the deer rib Doritos.
Golly,
that's
gee.
Almost like a tongue twister, too.
It don't say it three times fast.
You eat those while you're grilling? You know, I mean, or is that something you substitute for the grill? You see what I'm saying? Too much flavor if you're grilling?
If someone opens a bag of these on the bus that you're riding, do you immediately need to get off at the next barbecue stop? I mean, how does this work? Is this enough or is it just a tease? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Or, you know, is AI just playing a dirty trick on us?
I think that's probably the big thing. In the food department, today is Hoagie Day. Now, hoagie is not a term that I'm aware of it because, you know, I don't live just on Sesame Street, but I have been really interested in all these other words for it. I didn't realize that a blimpie and a hoagie, I thought that the blimpie was the name of the shop where you got the sandwich. I didn't realize that the blimpie was actually the name of the sandwich, too.
Yeah, I think in Boston they call it a grinder.
They do. We've got, of course, submarine sandwiches. We hear about that. And bombers. I don't know from bombers. Heroes. I know that one. Torpedoes. I have seen that on a sign.
Torpedoes.
I've seen that on a sign.
I've actually saw that in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
For a submarine sandwich with a torpedado.
Torpedado. Mm-hmm. That would make sense. And, of course, our favorite po' boy. So.
A po' boy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean,
we can talk for 20 minutes about the origins of the term po' boy, but everybody will disagree, so there's no reason to do that.
Well, and with the Coast guys on last night, it was funny because we did have that question: where do you get the best shrimp po' boy, the freshest shrimp po' boy on the coast? And both of them are like, man, you can go to a gas station down there and get one. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm a gas station food person.
Well,
sometimes it hits you wrong. But,
okay,
you know,
I know that we discuss the things that I don't eat. And the other day I ate something very rare because it was at a gas station and it was just one of the most brilliant displays of gas station food I have ever seen.
You don't know what you're missing.
I ate a corn dog, y'all. Hold on. I ate a corn dog. It was delicious. I really much enjoyed it. Now there'll be another 10 years before I want another one, but
Is a corn dog only a corn dog outside of a fair? Because at a fair, they're generally known as a pronto pup.
I don't know if that's the name or if that's the business name.
That's my question.
Because I feel like Pronto Pup is the name of the business that brings you the corn dogs.
Right.
But it could be
they call theirs Pronto
when they,
Pups.
Yeah, when they do those and they're like 4 feet long.
They have the regular and then the long ones. And they'll slapper that mustard all over it. We're getting to fair season, if you can't tell.
Oh, I know.
We've got bottle tree stuff coming, amazing tour. And then not long after that, you get the fair.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And I bet from your house you could smell the cooking
the
corn and the funnel cakes and all that. It ain't that far.
This afternoon at my house, though, it will be serious bands. The JSU Southern University Classic wonderful game is happening,
and
it is seriously a brilliant, wonderful event, and I love it because, you know, I've been to a whole lot of football games. I don't need to go. I like to sit and listen from the other end of the street.
Yeah. Oh, no, the bands are amazing.
Oh, they're amazing.
I talked to a couple people this week about that, and I was asking kind of the format. It's been so long since I've been to a SWAC game. It was, you know, I was in my teens. Mm-hmm. And what a treat it is of the senses, especially on the music.
Joy.
And
the tailgate's fun.
Yeah,
too.
They do. You know, you got halftime, and then they do like a whole pregame setup too.
Yeah.
So you'll have a party over there at the house if you're sitting outside listening.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, that's gonna be
awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up in an area where I could hear things like this. You know, my house when I lived in Louisiana, I was able to stay at my house and listen to Irma Thomas singing over it in the nearby venue, you know. So I like that sort of thing. Other people say, oh, all that noise. And I'm like, no, good.
It's awesome.
It's great.
And it's not all the time. Well, and last night I got out while I was trying to wind down, and I saw the Terry and Lanier. I think it was Terry and Lanier. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was Terry and somebody else. But they had it had a shot of the stadium and the bands playing.
Mm.
And it was like a mini Boombox Classic
fun
going on. They were having a blast. And that's, I mean, you know, that's, music is just, it's kind
of
like gardening. You know?
There's
a little something
things
for everybody.
There's a version of it. There's something to do. There's something you're going to enjoy. There's something you're going to learn every time. And that's, if I could go back and start over again when they said, what instrument do you want to play, honey? I would have said drums.
I did try that, and he said, you don't want to do drums.
Well, my parents said, no, you don't want to do drums. And I understand that, but I did a lot of stuff, didn't do that, and I probably still could.
I ended up, you could take up trap set. Definitely could.
And
I could come over and watch you jam, just head banging,
nine-inch
nails, drummer style.
Why not? We might need to get robots for that.
Oh, yeah, we'll just program our own avatar robot.
Exactly.
I was told, you don't want to do the drums, you want to play the trombone. And then I was given a trombone. And I stuck with it for a couple years.
It's a fun instrument.
Yeah, it was a lot to load around. I think that because I was 6 foot above, and they're like, mm-hmm. you can tote that or the tuba.
Yeah.
Which
would you like?
I think I'll go with the trombone.
Well, they were deep in flutes that year, so they started all of us on flutes. And that's kind of...
Too bad. You know, there's... Wasn't it... it's Zappa.
Oh, yeah.
Frank was the flute master.
Sure.
I'd have loved to put him and Otha Turner together.
Jethro Tull. And bring in Lizzo, and we'll be here all night.
Yeah, whole band of flautists that just
joyful,
carve it up.
Joyful stuff. I have something I want to bring to you today, not only the fact that I'm in the midst of pruning things that probably shouldn't be pruned, so we can talk about that if y'all have it on your minds. I've also got some other crazy things. It did rain, you know, so I can't complain about not having any rain or water in the garden. As a result, what am I doing? I'm going to redo that bed that I told y'all I was going to redo. Now, this is a commitment because, well, I've got some help coming tomorrow. We're going to get it done. But by the time you come to the garden tour, you know, I'll be doing the remote, this radio program, and I truly hope you will join me at Fondren Yard for that here in Jackson. Then right after that, at noontime, 1 o'clock, I will be doing the tour in my yard in the afternoon. And then I will also have the tour on Sunday morning. So I hope that y'all will come at one or the other of those times. But there's a whole lot to see. So you definitely are going to see prettier things than what I have to share. No doubt about it. Oh, my goodness. Thomas and Macomb is ready for the Polish sausage with the onions and the peppers and a little shot of mayo and mustard. He's on the right track.
That's the way you got to do it.
Yep,
you got to load it down
and need
a nap when you're done.
Exactly. Well, you have to stroll, see, while you eat it, so then you're not too sleepy.
Don't get on the Gravitron or the Ring of Fire. Do that first. Don't do that second.
Don't do that second. Good morning, Paula. Oh, my goodness. Laura's in Florida. That is a beautiful blue sky vine. She says she thinks she needs to move it. Well, it is kind of big. When is the best time? It's going to be a little while. I wouldn't do it right now. I would wait for cooler weather because you're going to need to cut it back and you're going to want some of those leaves to have dropped. So, but that's a gorgeous, gorgeous plant. Really lovely. I do like those. I like vines. I looked up yesterday. You know, I'm not that big a fan of Eleagnus, but when someone else plants it, you have to live with it. It's on the property line. So I do trim my side of it, and my neighbor sort of trims his side of it, but he had some people do some pretty much butchery on his side of the hedge. And as a result, we now have trumpet vines blooming on top of the Eleagnus. I kind of like it. It really is a mess. It's not what anybody would plan for, I don't think. But it has sort of a charm to it that I kind of like. I can't do anything about it. May as well like it.
Roll with the punches.
Sometimes that's very, very important. My goodness. Ah, gray webs all over the banana bush. That's true. It could have been, let's see, neem oil. No, you're right. That's the right way to go. And the other thing that I would do, because you do have webs, is I would take a broom, put some cheesecloth on the end of it, and literally just sweep inside the tree to take those things down. It helps a lot. Some people will tell you to spray cooking oil on the outside of the cheesecloth to make it even stickier. That probably works too. I don't have any problem with that. You're right. It is something you need to go ahead and control and take care of right now. Thank you so much for sending that in. It's a beautiful picture. Really lovely. Thanks, Patty. My goodness. I know they had a bit of storm surge, your fellas in Gulfport and the rest of the coast.
I learned a lot.
A lot to clean up.
I learned a lot about every time you talk to somebody on the coast after a bad storm. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, we don't experience anything like the way it all works.
No, we don't get storm surge, yeah.
No, I mean,
yeah.
And just the way things work down there is so different. And, you know, so it's always interesting to learn about mm-hmm. how the, you know, everything kind of twists and turns around.
It's different.
And I've watched a few videos this week of Katrina, and, man, it was...
Oh, goodness.
There were some brave souls that stayed there long enough to even get shot. So I'd have been gone, man. I mean, and not because I'm... You know, I'm a neophyte with hurricanes. I would have thought the world was coming to an end from what that looked
like. I'm a pro. I'm a pro. And when I saw that radar, I hunkered down here. It still blew my greenhouse apart and tore up my house. I mean, you know, we were not without, but nothing like the coast. Nothing like the coast. Oh, my goodness. It's already time for us to step aside and come back again. So come along with us. It's going to be a fun morning. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Hey, is that right, Mama? Because I got my shaking room on the floor.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, Mama.
Do you ever feel like you are in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you will always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water on demand, warm and consistent heat and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Propane. Clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com today.
We are agriculture, the number one industry in Mississippi. We are 180,000 member families strong, a century of generations. We are grassroots Mississippi in all 82 counties. We are Unified, the largest general farm organization in Mississippi. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Are you the parent of a two?
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down. I feel my heart start to tremble whenever you're around. Ooh, baby, when I see your face, mellow as the month of May.
It's really hard to interrupt.
When you look at me that way.
And do you know he knows every word? He's singing. That's great. Welcome in, y'all. Carole King is one of those people. If she had never sung any of her songs, we would still know her and respect her because of all of the songs that she wrote when she was part of the music writing machine in the 50s and 60s. But my goodness, the music that she has written and recorded and created for herself is light years beyond all of that and just so much fun to listen to. Interestingly enough, we have inspired Rhett up in Ridgeland. He says that the hurricane weather has got his sweet olive bloom, and it is beautiful. And that's probably because it finally got enough water to pump those flowers out. But yes, they do bloom in the fall, generally speaking, at least a little bit, and then bloom again in Zone 8, or bloom primarily, I should say, in Zone 8, starting in about February. It's one of those plants that you should have in your garden. If you have a container garden, it's going to be a big pot. But if you have any space at all in your yard, the sweet olive is a tree that demands our attention. It's just lovely. Good morning. Let's see. Gina's in Bruce or Banner, and she planted 7 azaleas back in the spring. 2 of them died. Well, that's not a bad percentage, actually. Will they grow back? If they're completely dead, obviously, no, they won't. But if you can cut it back and see any green under the stem, then, or if you can scratch the bark and see any green under there, then you've got a chance of them regrowing. You may still want to replace them if they're in the planting with the bigger ones that are now growing, because, you know, it might look a little off. But it depends on, you can always certainly plant them in the fall if you feel like you need to replace them. When we want to do some crepe myrtles, and let's see. Oh, now we're in the spring. I'm in favor of fall planting if it is not a tiny little plant. In other words, if I have something and I've rooted it, for example, or I buy a plant and it's got one leaf on it and it's 4 inches tall, I'm not going to plant that as a woody plant out in the garden. I'm going to hold on to it, nurture it a little bit through the winter, and plant it in the late winter, very early spring. But if you've got a 1 gallon or bigger pot and the plant, you know, is 2 or 3 feet tall, it's ready. It's time. So give yourself the opportunity to go ahead and put it in late October at least. Maybe November is fine either way. But just do that this fall, and you'll be better served by it. I really do believe that for example, the row of Eleagnus that my neighbor planted, one of them died. And good news is that there was already Adam's needle on my side, the native yucca. So there's a hole in on his side, but on my side there's a plant because it was already there, and the Eleagnus was going to crowd it eventually anyway. So the fact that he lost one didn't matter. He probably would rather have Eleagnus in his view because it is a better hedge, but at the same time, since that one, he didn't replace it, so that one, we lost that one. Since when you got two, the question is, are they on one end so you can just get rid of them and not notice that they were gone, or are they stuck in the middle so you can let them grow and the others will kind of overwhelm them and it'll be okay? If not, if they're in a prominent position, I'm going to replace them. I don't want to have to wait on those to recover. I know that's kind of, how much time do you have? That's the other thing. Because you can always dig them up, put them in a container, and nurture them and get them to grow and plant them back again next year or something. Most of us don't want to wait for that. Most of us are more interested in sooner things than that. I was happy to have a request to write more about fall color. And I guess part of it is the science of it. There are always issues about when does one thing happen, when does something else happen. And I really like the fact that it is almost predictable in most things. The amount of yellow or the amount of orange or red or purple that you see as the leaves change their color does depend on that particular plant and that particular environment. But as each nutrient from the leaves is absorbed back into the tree, its color is subtracted from the leaf. So we lose the green first, and that will reveal whatever is underneath there. So things that can, some of the others can be kind of subtle. Sometimes it goes from green to brown instantly. We've all seen that. But yellow goes next, and then the reds are purple, and then eventually all that's left is brown. So you see the yellow, and as the yellow dissolves, the plant may go like an aspen does. Usually from yellow it goes directly to brown, but not everything does that. So you have some of the subtleties in there. I really like, I'm a big fan of ginkgo trees anyway, but when it comes to, if you just say to yourself, I want yellow in my fall garden, you can't beat a ginkgo tree. And in that, at that point, of course, you have, they're literally like you pulled the light switch, you know, on one of those old pull chains on a lamp. Ginkgo, one day just all the leaves fall off, and they don't treat you like red oak. Red oak is meant for rakers. If you like to rake, and you like to rake often, because they'll drop some leaves, and then 2 weeks later they'll drop some more leaves, and eventually they do drop their leaves as the new leaves for the year are coming on, but they don't drop all at one time. And things like ginkgo drop all at once. And that not only is a easy way to clean up, but it's beautiful on the lawn. It's a lovely, lovely thing to see. It's probably why we don't usually put them in a flower bed, because when they drop those leaves, they drop them all over everything else. Oh, my goodness. Paula's got an adorable annual. I don't know what your lizards are named. All of mine are named Larry, and I'm not really sure why, but they are. He's hanging out in her elephant ears. So pretty.
Mine are called Lunch.
Well, that's because you have many predators that you live with. That's
long enough to get a name. Unless you're really, really smart.
I will say, y'all may not know this. I have a wasp window. I do kill the wasps that are above my doorways. You know, they try to get up underneath the roof edges and stuff. And I do take care of that. But there is a window where there's just a tiny gap that will no longer close. And they have built a nest inside that window frame, and my cat is charmed by it. This is the cat who has now left me, so I'll probably get rid of the wasps. But anyway, it's been really fun to watch. The other day I couldn't figure out one of the other cats was up there. I thought, well, they're not even been interested in those wasps. There was a lizard about an inch long, one of the tiny little green annoles, crawling up and down on the outside of the window, just looking at the wasps, you know, not in any danger, of course, but it was just funny to watch. Somebody else was interested. And then the cat, of course, is interested in watching the lizard. So it's kind of fun stuff. Let's see. We've got another question coming in on the text line this morning. This is Greg in Petal. Nice place. What's a fast-growing, low-profile ground cover? Depends if you want it to vine and make like a thick net, or if you want it to be individual plants that crowd each other that way. The fastest growing would probably be Asiatic jasmine. It's little tiny evergreen leaves, and it will make a mat because it's a vine. It will make a mat. You know, you have to cut it back every few years, but otherwise it gets, you know, to be a foot thick, and that's not what you want in a ground cover. But that's because it's so vigorous. The other choice for me would be ajuga. I'm very fond of it, called bugle flower. It makes a clump. It can be green. It can be purple. It can be variegated. Different ones have different shades in their leaves. But it's a little rosette. And you not only plant them close to each other, but they also multiply rapidly and spread into the section. So for my two choices of the fastest growing, it would be Asiatic jasmine or ajuga, A-J-U-G-A. They're beautiful plants, too. This last couple of years, I should say, has been sort of tough, and you will still see some places where the Asiatic jasmine, say, is 6 inches deep, and it's beautiful and green on top, but not so much underneath, and you walk on the side of that particular flower bed, and it's still gray on the edges. That tells you that it's gotten older. It's been through drought, heat, cold, ice, whatever all the different conditions have been, you know, in the last few years. And you probably do need to cut it back pretty severely to get it to regrow. I would do that in the springtime. My neighbor cut his back really severely a few years ago, and it ran underneath the hedge and into my yard. So now I have Asiatic jasmine that I don't actually need. But you can walk on it, so it gets to stay in some places. If you have a question on your mind today, I'd love to hear from you. We've got phones open, of course, 888-808-8637. And as usual, the C Spire text line is 601-879-4395. I will tell you, if I read too fast for you, or if you don't have a pencil to write it down with, because I get emails about all these things, y'all can find me an email, thank goodness, mamaonair@yahoo.com. But write this one down, supertalk.fm. You'll find all these things, the phone numbers, the text numbers, how to listen, how to look. That's right, supertalk.tv. You'll find all of that at our website. You know, sometimes they do research on stuff and it turns out to be absolutely wonderful stuff. And other times it's stuff that you just say, well, okay then, I suppose that's true. At-risk butterflies more likely to survive with human help. What a great headline. Now, you have to look at this. Obviously, the butterflies have been around a lot longer than we have. But yes, when we do things like destroy their habitat, if we rebuild it, that will help. If we have, as my friend on Cape Cod, brilliant garden writer, has posted this week, yes, she has plenty of milkweed, but she also puts up a couple other puffy plants that they like to crawl around on. And so she has a really nice nest space for the monarchs. There's food for them, and there's also the proper things to support them physically. So it's kind of a neat thing. The niftiest part for me in this particular bit of research is that what they've done is to go back and take a look at 114 populations of 31 butterfly species in 10 of the United States. That's a lot of data. And fortunately, they found that the at-risk butterflies that are particularly vulnerable really have, unfortunately, they've been declining at the astounding amount of 8% a year, which is a lot of butterflies. But it's over a decade, of course, you multiply that out, and that turns into more than half the population being lost. But the study indicates that this kind of habitat management that so many of us have been engaged in does, in fact, make a better opportunity for the butterflies to survive and thrive. So I think when we hear people tell us that there are fewer butterflies, my answer has been, well, you need to garden in a way that accommodates them. And then I will talk about sustainability, and I will talk about not wreaking havoc on their environment. But this is a bigger piece of that picture and does indicate to all of us the ways that we can get a little bit more input into that environment by looking at some of these projects. If you want to do this, then there's some good models that will help to make that work in a better way. Another study this week that is of interest to us here, older women are more vulnerable to heat than their male peers, according to the folks at Penn State. You know what that tells me? That tells me that all those honeydew lists are actually not made up in your head. It's because it's too hot. You got to get the honey to do some of the stuff. Y'all know honeydew lists, right? I hope so. Excuse me. Let's see. Oh, yeah, brown leaves on blueberries. That is a problem. And I can see that it's just one branch. He says this is the worst it's been. This is Donald in Oxford. And he had to cut this one way back. What is it? Is it a blight? What can be done? There are a couple of things that will cause this in our blueberries. One is, quite simply, the roots are not strong enough to support that much top. And so part of the top dies in order for the rest of the plant to survive. The remedy for that is annual pruning right after the plants finish their fruit, and fertilizing them at that point with a nitrogen that is going to bring along some of the benefits of that particular element, but also acidify the environment. That's why I always say look for some organic nitrogen fertilizer to use on your blueberries, and or the fertilizer that you would ordinarily use on camellias and azaleas, which is also intended for that. Now, if those things don't work and it gets, you know, your bed is healthy and happy and well mulched and it seems to be very acid and you still have that problem, yes, you may have a blight that's causing some trouble for them, but that is much less likely in my experience than is a simple physical problem and needing to take care of it that way. Okay? I like that you're cutting them back as they do this. Just make sure you're cutting back to where there is a green piece underneath that stem. Some of this can be very superficial, and some of it can actually be a problem that needs addressing in the long run. So that's the blueberry primer for today. Don't we love our blueberries? Oh, my goodness. So much we can enjoy about them and appreciate. More on fall color, more on some of our other plants we like and some we don't like so much. Your phone calls, your texts, and a lot of fun here on the Garden Mama Show.
With darkness all about, you want the screen to shine. Carry on, carry on. Don't cry, baby. Look at where you've been. Everybody knows you just need a friend. Please, 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 go down on your
your needs. Carry on, carry on. Your head is full of doubt. You can't figure anything out. Carry on.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
Should have taken up the harmonica. I hear that in my head a lot too. I saw this, somebody showed me this week costumes for cicadas at a Comic-Con and they all have the noisemakers. And the question was, are you irritated or comforted by the sound of cicadas singing? It's a tough one. In the South, you better get used to it, but other places sort of have to think about these things. It's just funny. Oh, my goodness. Betty in Madison's got lace bugs in her azaleas. You know, this is one of those things that the leaves are, some of the leaves are going to fall off. They're, even when they're evergreen azaleas, this particular insect will cause that problem. So the first piece is to understand is everything that falls off, you need to keep raked out of there. You can deal with them with sprays of neem. You can deal with them with sprays of spinosad, multiple sprays. I have to tell you, though, if it's a whole hedge of azaleas and it is a problem throughout the planting, I'm going to look towards a systemic, and I really hate to even think about it. But you know that I'm very cautious about that. It's when it's a big problem on an important set of plants that you cannot really get a grip on without an awful lot of effort and time and money, which means to say 3 rounds of sprays, 10 days apart, 8 days apart, depending on which product you're using. But the problem is always that then what? And you want the plants to be in good enough shape to put out new leaves and continue to grow. So that's another reason that the systemic comes into play here, because it will suppress the problem and give the plants a better opportunity. Speaking of the cicadas, yes, that is one on the wheel of my car. Those are photographs. Other people take beautiful photographs, you know, of spiders making elaborate webs and having all these cool heads on them and stuff. And I'm out here looking at the cicadas crawling on my car. I don't know. We all have different things we like to look at, I suppose. That's one of them. Let's see. The all the leaves will not necessarily fall off, but a lot of them will. And that's another reason to treat the soil and prevent the problem from recurring, rather than trying to spray the leaves, which are all falling off, which is where the bugs are living. Okay. Do keep a good eye on them, though, even after you do whatever treatment it is, because you need to keep that debris raked out from under those azaleas. It's really important. New Monstera for Paula. She's named her Francine in honor of the week that she arrived. You'll remember that. And it's not a difficult, she says she's done some research and it's a difficult plant. I don't find Monstera to be a difficult plant. Monstera, like most of the plants in the philodendron group, are happy when you find the right place for them. They really take minimal amounts of water, minimal amounts of fertilizer, but the same family of plants gave me the gigantic Gary that lives at my house. And Gary, of course, was a single leaf in Gary's office in the sink under fluorescent lights. He's a great gardener, but this plant was given to him with no leaves on it. So when it grew a leaf or two, he gave it to me because he knew I would have more space and, frankly, a better place for this family of plants. They like moderate light. They're not going to grow in the dark. They're certainly not happy in full sun either. So that's a couple of cues for you. But you don't want to put them in spaces that are going to change all day long. So it's a good plant to have in a morning sun window or an all day bright window. You don't want it to be dark in the morning and really bright in the afternoon, or any of those quick changes are not good for monsteras. The biggest thing is that if you are aware of how large these plants are or can get to be, you need to repot them every year if you want them to continue to grow, because they do get bigger and bigger and bigger. Go up no more than an inch larger pot all the way around each time, or they will spend their entire year growing way too many roots and not enough leaves. Because philodendrons, generally speaking, are plants that send out, you know, those air roots when they get mature. That's all about getting more oxygen into the plant, more water into the plant, and also holding the plant where it needs to be. Because these are kind of tenuous in nature. But it's a beautiful, beautiful plant and one that I really enjoy. Let's see. Repotted the Christmas cactus. Oh, the bird's nest fern. Yeah, that's a pretty bird's nest fern. I decided not to repot my Christmas cactus. They're draining fine. They're not draining too fast, which is what I thought they were doing, but they actually are not. And so I think I'm going to be able to get another bloom out of them, which will be even better because they are a bit crowded in their containers. But I have to tell you, if you're looking for another plant for a pretty low light area, then you need to think about bird's nest ferns, because they are a beautiful one. That's really nice. Blooming fertilizer is good on the Christmas cactus at this time of year, absolutely. And also leaving them outside so that they can get some cool nights, which will help to trigger their flowers. It's another piece of that particular puzzle. Hugh in Greenwood, good morning. When is the best time to prune camellias? Right after they flower, right when the flowers finish is when they begin to put on both their new growth and also their growth that produces the buds for the next year. They are not fast. It takes them at least 10 months to set buds, so you need to prune them quickly and then let them go ahead and grow. Here's a good question. When should I stop feeding my hummingbirds? I'm going to channel Ken Hackman, our bird man, and I'm going to tell you, don't stop. There are always some hummingbirds that stay with us through the winter. You don't persuade them to do that by feeding them. It's not something you can affect. But if they are the type that either need to stay or want to stay, then you will have the opportunity to feed them, and they will come to see you. So keep your feeders up. It's fun. Ed's an Ovette. Welcome in. What's going on today, Ed?
Just enjoying the day, Garden Mama. Just a real quick question. Mm-hmm. Where I'm from in Jay, Florida, my daddy still lives there. He's got like 7 or 8 Japanese persimmon trees, and he had grafted some and had them in the ground for about 3 years. I've made 3 persimmons, but he's telling me it takes years for them things to make. Can you fill me in on what I need to do?
Well, you're on the right track if you've gotten some at all, because it does take about 5 years usually for them to be productive, if not a little bit longer. I think in our circumstances here, 5 years will probably be enough. What a wonderful legacy. What a great fruit. How cool is your dad? That was not a plant that people even liked, much less grew. So you've really got something. That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, when I was a kid, I ate more persimmon bread, and my wife actually makes the stuff too. I don't know if you ever had persimmon bread.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know what else I like? I also like persimmon sorbet. That's another really delicious thing.
Hey, He actually grows one that you can eat. You know, most times you bite into one, it's raw, your mouth puckers, but he grows one that you can eat like an apple.
Exactly.
Like an
the
apple.
Japanese ones have so much better flavor to me, to my taste.
Yep.
Fun stuff,
right,
Ed. That's
you,
great. Man. Thank you. Good to hear. I love that. Yeah, patience is a virtue and not an easy one sometimes. Today, in addition to everything else it is, today is Sober Day. And I'm going to be sober and speak of this very seriously because I want to bring you a piece of wisdom from somebody that I think the world of. That is Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee Curtis has been sober for a long time. She says that there are a lot of things about sobriety and marriage. She's been married about 40 years too, so she knows a thing or two about that. That is the same. And the expression that she uses that I'm holding on to today is absolutely this: stay on the bus. The view changes. And that's the truth. You keep with the program. You keep your garden going. You keep your marriage going. You keep your sobriety going. You will see different things that you didn't see before because the view changes when you stay. Okay? All right, now. We got some time to go. We're going to talk to Brenda and go on about our business today. Stick around.
Open Season Properties is a full-service real estate company with a team approach philosophy that ensures your needs are of the highest priority, whether it's rural land sales, residential, or commercial properties. Open Season Properties markets and sells real estate in Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. And they're dedicated to the development of long-term client relationships and unwavering commitment to service. Go to OpenSeasonProperties.com to learn more.
Have you lost Mississippi Medicaid? At healthcare.gov, you can find a low-cost, quality health plan.
Do plans cover doctor visits?
What about emergency care?
And prescriptions?
All covered and more. Plus, with the new law, 4 out of 5 customers can find a plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Enroll today for coverage starting the first of next month. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When help.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in, welcome in. My goodness, wowie zowie, what a beautiful day.
That's like a rest stop.
That's gorgeous. Supertalk.tv, for those of you who want to know why I'm unable to speak, you'll have a chance to see. Let's see, that's Ron. Ron sent that to us from his recent trip up the East Coast to North Carolina. But these zinnias at a rest stop, we should all have this many zinnias in our lives, quite frankly.
I 100%
agree. At least for a moment, you know, each year. It's one of those people that in the very far north look for crocus, you know, because the crocus come up and they do a lovely thing and then it's maybe going to be spring, it might snow again, all those kinds of things. Down here, we have months and months and months of such gorgeous, gorgeous weather that we should grow zinnias, at least to have a view like this at least once. We could actually have it 3 times in our climate here in the central part of Zone 8.
Well, we need to promote this.
Yep, I think we need
listeners,
more.
If you are taking a look at the beautiful imagery, can you imagine in between the interstate highway
mm-hmm,
system,
mm-hmm.
just as far as you can see, zinnias.
We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. We have a lot of work to do. Today's Drive Your Studebaker Day. You can pull it out of the garage and drive it on down the road if you like.
You may have it parked in the backyard as a planter.
It could
by
be
now,
a planter yeah. by now. It's not been made for a
I
while.
I remember being a kid going to a family reunion, and somebody had an old Studebaker then. I was probably 10 or 11. That thing was ancient back then.
It was old when I was, it was old when I was little.
Yeah.
My family had one that they had had, I think, since right after the Model A. I mean, I'm serious. They got the Studebaker. They loved Studebakers. Mm-hmm. And so they had that early on. What I remember about it is that the upholstery was horsehair, and if you had on shorts, it stuck on you. It didn't stick to your body, but it stuck you when you sat on it. So little kids were not so fond of it. But on the other hand, it was a great car. Apparently, they still run.
They ran
the
forever.
Ones that are around still run. So I like that. That's really, really smart. Those zinnias are gorgeous. Another good question. I have a border of azaleas down the side of the house, probably 25 years old. They do not get pruned as time has gone by, you know, the age and whatnot. So they've gotten too big. Now, here's the question that throws me. Can I move them? My husband has the equipment to another place safely. If so, when or should I just let them go? I'm going to try and turn this around. If you move them, you still have to prune them in order for them to come back and grow happily, because you will have taken out some of their roots. This is not just azaleas. If you are taking out an established plant and transplanting it someplace else, generally speaking, the horticultural rule is to take off one-third of the size of that plant. In the case of a plant that's really overgrown, say an 8-foot azalea that's supposed to be 2 feet, you would take off a little more. You might take off as much as half of it. But so here's my question. If you have the equipment to move them, you have, you know, backhoe or whatever it is to dig them up, be aware that you still have to prune them when you get them replanted. So if it was mine, I would get the pruning done. Yes, it might be something that you have to hire someone to do. And not everybody likes to prune the way I do. But I will tell you that they're still going to have to be pruned. So whichever way you go, if you're happy where they are and you like the way they look when they do bloom, go ahead and prune them. Even if it's now, even if it's this fall and has to be done now, ideally, we would prune right after they flower in the springtime for the best effect on the plant. But when it has to be done, it has to be done. So if you do have to prune it and you do prune it now, be aware that you probably won't get flowers next year, but you will get good growth. And I'm sure you'll get a whole lot more light into that area if they've overgrown such. That may not be the answer you wanted, but the answer is yes, you can move them, but you're still going to have to do the pruning. Let's see. I'm not going to go back into it, but I will just tell you that if you want to talk, if you want to look up any of the accomplishments of our former delightful, brilliant, beautiful First Lady, Pat Fordyce, she was the one who got the most of the wildflowers planted in the medians of our freeways and the no offense to my friends at the highway department, I love y'all, but getting the mowing schedule so that it didn't mow down, in order for them to live there, they have to reseed. And in order for that to happen, they have to not be mowed while they have seed heads, and that didn't always look good, so people would go and mow them down anyway. So it's a big deal. But, for example, it's like our friend Locke Ward says, if you've got a business and you have a median in front of you, why not take care of it? You know, you don't have to wait for somebody else to do that. So you could certainly maintain those areas that are next to your business or your house. I would plant zinnias in the hill strip from my sidewalk to the house, to the street rather, except that it floods. So that's not going to work. That's an ongoing problem. Ellie and Florence, Daylily and Iris are laying on the ground. No, I'm not going to do anything. She says, should I do anything? I'm not going to do anything. I have some that are doing that way, but all my Crocosmias fell over. They had been standing up. They all fell over.
They just got tired.
Yeah, they did. They wore out.
I said, I'm tired. I'm going
to
take a nap.
Now, on the other hand, if you need to dig them up and divide them because you're ready to thin that area or make another bed or something like that, that's all fine. You can do that. But I'm not going to worry about these until it's been at least 2 weeks after the storm, see if they can't stand back up. And if they don't, you might go pick them up a little bit. They're probably going to be fine. We did have some, in my case, it's where the water sits that causes the big problems. Let me just say one more word about the webs in the tree. I see the picture up on Supertalk.tv. We were talking about this in the last hour. There are always things that make webs, and it's almost always a good idea to get the web out of the tree. It's not necessarily, for example, when you have a high porch and you have spiders up there, and so you have webs, that's actually just about the best insect control you can have. But it is important to understand that when they're in the tree and they're actually closing up the leaves, that's a different, it's a different kind of web and a different problem. Oh, when you come to my house, and I know you will, for the Bottle Tree Garden Tour, October 5th and 6th here in Jackson, you're going to see some interesting things. Last year it was the water collection, which we had already used all the water out of. This year, not so much. But this year we are manually killing mosquitoes in fans with, this sounds crazy, but it does work. All right. And it worked so well that the other day I had the experience that I really didn't necessarily want to have of watching ants chew through the fiber of the, or go in between the fibers of the net to get, they felt like we had survived.
We had given them
the greatest treat in the world. But they broke my net. So now I got to sew the net back up because the ants went in and took the mosquitoes out.
They were so excited.
Were the mosquitoes surprised?
Yeah. I bet those ants were so excited.
They were so happy.
Yeah. It's like a bull in a china shop.
Finally, we did something for them instead of against them. Oh, my goodness.
You're like, I don't have to sting this person? Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, then. I'll just go over here and eat this mosquito.
And the netting.
It's crazy. Oh, this is fun. I don't know if you've done this before, Paula. Paula had a hummingbird fight going on in her backyard.
Oh, those are always fun.
Uh-huh. It's such a treat. She says they can be so mean to each other. They're mean, but they're actually also, some of that's just showing off.
Yeah, I think they're just kind of peacocking
a bit. Exactly. Some of that is just, hey, honey, look over here. You know, you're cute. I'm going to beat him up for you. That's so silly, but he's going to do it anyway. And sometimes, frankly, I've seen them fight when there's too many at the feeder. And one will bump one off, you know, another will bump another one off. And the next thing you know, the two that got bumped off are both coming in to get the third one off of the feeder. They're very assertive.
And the ones that chase the wasps off, they're fun. Resilient.
Yeah, that's really fun. Let's see. Reseeding wildflowers. In Shirley's seeing this in North Mississippi, a segment on CBS this morning. This is one of the best ideas. In fact, it's almost as good as the seed balls that you can take and carry with you and fling out. They're made out of clay and soil and seeds. As soon as it rains, they break up and end up planting seeds for you. These are people's dogs with little backpacks, and they had sand and seed on them and tiny holes, so wherever the dogs ran, the seeds and the sand came out. And that's really very much the same thing we talk about. If you're going to plant a small seed, like, say, impatience seeds or something, a lot of times we will put that with sand in a salt shaker or a pepper shaker to shake them out so that you're getting something besides just the seed coming out to help carry them to their destination, because otherwise they fall in lumps. And that's the same idea with this. What a great one. Wouldn't you love to have that? Come on now. You know Hawk wants to do that.
Hawk wants to do everything.
We need some more words, though, Lance. Today is Speak German Day.
Well, I got I got a couple for you. Just dog term, Schnitt Lippen. It's a whisker lip,
Does he have that?
That's one of his nicknames is Schnitt Lippen. Schnitt Lippen.
Well, we need to get him a backpack and some sand and some seeds and start spreading seeds.
He could seed your field 30 times faster than any tractor. If you just let him go, just let him run. He'll zigzag it and everything. No, there may not be a pattern, you know, but it's going to be seeded, I guarantee.
Well, that's in the same category. The best daffodil grower that I ever knew or have ever known in my life says that when you go to plant daffodils, if you really want to do it like as if it was natural, you hold them in both your hands and fling them over your shoulders behind you.
Yeah. He would do that.
And go
perfectly.
Back and plant wherever they fall, because that's how they, you know, multiply themselves. Mm-hmm. So he could do that.
To go in and harrow it after he's done. But I mean,
yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, a little thinning over here, but I'm telling you, you're on to something. You got some ideas about this.
It's
on
the bad list at the moment, though.
We won't talk about that.
If he's listening, you are a naughty boy.
In the doghouse. You're in the doghouse. Join me to kick off these got Bottle Tree Garden Tour in Fondren at Fondren Yard on October 5th at 8 a.m. It is right before all of the tour events begin, so you'll have the chance to come watch the show get produced and also, frankly, ask your questions, have a little fun, drink a little coffee, and get going on what's going to be a lovely, lovely weekend in my neighborhood. I wish that we could do this, but I'm going to give it a call out anyway because it's such a great idea. There's a new process. University of California, Berkeley has been, well, they've literally built buildings based on recycling, most of which are built with recycled materials. So they've been serious about this for a long time. You would have thought by now we'd have figured out more things, but there it is. Now they've got a new process. It's a catalytic process, much like in your car, that reduces polymers to their chemical precursors. Do you know how hard that is in a chemical thing to even wrap your mind around? And what happens, of course, is that gets it closer to circular so that then those materials can be used again to make something else, which is the ultimate goal of recycling, is to take something, turn it back into what its components were, and use those components again. So it's interestingly enough that they're getting these, they've had some processes that could do that, but now these are more affordable and, quite frankly, less difficult to acquire. So there's less expensive solid catalysts to be able to scale it into an industrial production. I love this. We would really, really like it as human beings to know that the things that we were using could in turn be used again. That, you know, we all have seen what landfills produce, which is sometimes property to build houses on and sometimes not. So it's a good idea to figure out a way to put it all back to work again. That's I'm sure he will do that for you. I'm reading private notes in here on the thing. Can I talk to Jack in Utica, please? Hello, Jack. What are you doing? You're transplanting some plants. What are you up to?
Well, what I did was when we moved here, I was in a hurry to get a lot of things from my old garden in the ground. So I had a big old alocasia bulb, and I had a bunch of that ornamental ginger, as it's called. Hey, Dickium, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm,
is that the
mm-hmm. Butterfly ginger, yeah.
At any rate, I put them in what I thought was a good place. But last year was so horrible. We had a late freeze and an early freeze, and the drought. At any rate, they're really looking bad. And do I either move them or can I just pile a ton of mulch on them and see them through the winter and hope they'll do better? I mean, the ground isn't ideal. It's clay and sandy, blah, blah, blah.
Is it? Tell me this. Do the butterfly gingers bloom where they are?
They're trying. They're really trying. They weren't really well-established plants when I moved them, and they've been here 2 years, and they tried to bloom, and I should have watered them, and they might have.
Do you have a better bed already built for them?
Not yet.
Okay. But in that case, I would not move them at the moment. I would wait to transplant until you've got a place to put them because they're already a little bit iffy. However, it's another case where some organic nitrogen fertilizer may help because it will get itself into the soil just a little bit. I don't want you to do that. If you can't do it today, don't do it until spring. And yes, when they lose their leaves and you can cut them back, there's a lot of benefits to mulch, and one of them is that you can cover something up you don't want to look at for a while. So I think. And then you'll see their little heads perk up in the spring, and it'll be a better time to transplant them because by then you'll have the place for them that you want. Now, on the other hand, if you think they're going to die because they've been there for 2 years and are barely doing anything, you can always put them, containerize them for the winter and decide what you're going to do next spring. So you got several options. You can leave them, let them die down and cut them back and just cover them up with mulch. Or if you really feel like they might not make it through all of that, then go ahead and put them into containers and just treat them that way.
What about the alocasia? It's a huge bulb, and I mean it's struggling. It really is. But then again, I don't want to disturb it because I know it's got a lot of good roots.
Does it have good leaves this year?
Not very well. As I said, it had to come back from the side because mm-hmm. it really froze mm-hmm. hard.
I might not move it if you don't. The biggest problem for something like an alocasia or any kind of elephant ear type bulb, big bulbs, crinums, you know, those things, is that we will damage them yeah. when we dig into them to lift them up, or that we'll end up putting them someplace that's worse. So.
Yeah,
it's not gonna die in that space. Okay, I hope that helps.
Okay.
I got to step away,
thank you.
I appreciate it. That's a good question to have. What do I do if it doesn't work? Any rate, we've got some fun coming up. Stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Customers, a whole home energy upgrade. The Propane Energy Pod Builder Incentive Program. What's the Propane Energy Pod? It's a total home energy upgrade that combines high-efficiency propane gas appliances to meet a home's major energy needs and delivers superior comfort and efficiency compared with all-electric homes. Not only is it good for homeowners, it's good for builders, too. All propane homes, on average, are valued up to 5% higher than all-electric homes. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Do you suffer from...
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade. My friends to come and see.
To come and see the garden. I wish Ringo would be there, but the rest of us are going to be there, and it's going to be lots and lots of fun on Saturday and Sunday, October 5th and 6th, the third annual Bottle Tree Garden Tour takes over my neighborhood, Fondren in Jackson, Mississippi. Join me to kick off Saturday morning for the Garden Mama Show, broadcasting live at 8 a.m. from Fondren Yard. It is such a cool spot. You're going to be so happy to be there with me. I hope that you will appreciate how much work has gone into this. When I moved to Fondren, not quite 100 years ago, but when I moved to Fondren quite a bit of time ago, these things that you will be seeing, most of them did not exist, and they, or at least they were tucked away because, quite frankly, it was not a neighborhood with a great bit of vitality. It was kind of an old neighborhood with folks in it that were coming and going and staying and seeing, but they weren't necessarily all coming together. And frankly, the Fondren Renaissance Foundation is what has pulled all that together. So if you've got a neighborhood that you would like, we had 7 different neighborhood associations that all formed together to become Fondren Renaissance Foundation. And frankly, we were little. You can't do a whole lot little, but you can do a whole lot together. And as a result, we have been a more vibrant neighborhood, and we're happy to show it off to you. My program on Saturday morning at Fondren Yard will be brought to you by our friends at Lakeland Yard and Garden, and of course the folks at Trustmark Bank, who are a big part of the neighborhood. Now, with all of that, I'm gonna just tell you, first of all, gardeners don't necessarily want to get interviewed about stuff. They might, when you get to their house, you buy your ticket, you go to the house, they're going to talk to you in most cases. But they're hard to get to come in and visit. So I'm very happy that I've been able to persuade a few that you'll be hearing over the next few weeks. We've got, amazingly, the very best to start off. Brenda Ware Jones is here. Hey, Brenda.
Well, hi there, Nell.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. When y'all get your tickets and stuff, you'll get addresses. So I'm not going to tell you where she lives. You can't go over there. You know, you have to go on the tour to get there. But I am going to tell you that Brenda's garden is known in our neighborhood as a secret garden. And I think that's part of the joy each of us have. Like mine's the plant collection. You know, we all have things and how we identify ourselves. Brenda, tell me about your garden. I know it's lovely. I've seen pictures and I've actually seen it once, but it's a lovely place. Tell folks what they're going to see when they get to your place.
Well, there's just no telling.
I love that.
Nellie, when I was looking through the files to try to find photos, I thought, oh, I love that plant. What happened to it? Oh, wow. But, oh, goodness.
I have some of that,
anyway,
too.
It changes all the time, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes the will of God. I mean, that horrible 3-day hard freeze a couple of years ago.
We lost things.
Took down a row of Pride of Mobiles like a war zone.
Oh, my goodness.
But they're back. Our garden guru, Felder, said, cut them back till they look like sticks, and they'll come back, and by George, they did. And then the drought last summer, the lush greenery just turned to the Sahara. So it's never the same. You work with what you have.
And that's part of the, I think that's some of the great joy of having your own garden to work in, because even though things do change, one of the reasons I tell people to take pictures every year is because of these changes. You know, I want to tell folks that at supertalk.tv, you're going to see some beautiful pictures of Brenda's garden, not the least of which the one that happens to be up there right now is water lilies in the pond. And you have goldfish, you have flowers. Tell me, is it really hard to do a water pond?
Absolutely not. If I can do it, anyone can. when we had the fieldstone patio put in, I knew I wanted a pool, and then I wanted it like a little small, maybe 6 feet circle, out on, because it's a circular, the end of the patio, circular. And then the more my wonderful stone man, Jerry Clanton, I just can't praise him enough. I hope he's listening.
Beautiful work.
I kept saying, you know what, let's make it set 8. It ended up being, I think, 11 feet in diameter. And then I thought, well, you know, we're going to have it deeper in the middle for the fish. Every change, he just did it, and it turned out great.
And of
then
course,
I thought,
that's
well,
what
I'll
the,
go get.
You have just said exactly what everyone in the professional world of water gardening will tell you, and that is you should always make it bigger than you think you want, and you should always make the center a little deeper, because those are the two things people say 5 years later they wish they had done. And
absolutely.
So you got on the front end of that one, and it's a beautiful example. That's part
well,
of it.
The water lilies don't look as pretty as the picture, but they may by October. Who knows? You never
that's
know.
It's another week, you know.
And
of course, I can tell that you have the balance, because obviously we don't want a pond to be covered with more than 1/3 of vegetative material, because we need some light to come in underneath that, especially for your fish and whatnot. So you've got a good balance.
Well, and,
is it hard to maintain, or is it
an ecosystem? Right. And my husband Edley has really been the pond whisperer. I mean, he does the chemicals and makes sure that. And of course, you have to have circulating water if you're going to have fish, because you have to aerate the. So it's been like a little mini science project. And I went to PetSmart or Petco at one of those pet stores, and bought like 7 little tiny fantails. No koi. Not big enough for koi.
I understand, yeah.
And plus, they look like catfish to me. I'm sorry, that's just me. So, and that was probably 10 years ago, and they have been fruitful and multiplied.
That's wonderful.
Although I give them away regularly. Won't have many to give away this time, because people do come and take them, and they do reproduce. I think I'm up to about 25 now.
Well, that's a large number to maintain.
Plants.
That's great.
Yeah, the aquatic plants have been the most fun.
Oh, fun.
Just learning about what will grow in water, and if I sold off the rest of the property and just kept my little water garden, that would be fine with me.
Well, and that's exactly how we always want to know, why do you garden? You garden because it's a fun, first of all, but it's also because it's a place of tranquility. I can tell that this is the safe spot. This is the retreat. You know, it is the oasis and the secret garden. And that's frankly, when you've got a spot that you really love in a garden, that's kind of where you spend most of your time. Is working.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I only wish the weather here in Mississippi allowed us to be out more often. I mean, we have a little tiny back patio that has a fire pit on it that we just can't use as often as we'd like because it's so hot. But back to the design, sometimes I think a garden designs itself. Ours is a very asymmetrical backyard because it sits on a ravine. So there was no way. I mean, I rather sort of secretly prefer, you know, the formal English, you know, I've been to England many times, and I just get such pangs of jealousy by first of all, their moisture and their soil, but also the formal layout. Couldn't do that here. It's a triangular, curvaceous yard, and so I've just gone with it. I've let it tell me, you know, put this here, put that
well,
there.
Well, and that is the smartest gardener in the world, Brenda, is you, because that's exactly, we have too many stories, people who go and visit somewhere else and they, you know, they want the hanging gardens of Babylon in their apartment building or something. I mean, we have, because we get excited about the things that we see. I always hope that we can bring back a little portion of it, a little bit of something that's delightful. But at the same time, there are so many things that we can do in our area that they can't do in other places. So it is a balance. You're exactly right. I know that you grow in containers as well as in the ground and in the water feature. Talk to me about those things. Or is it different to, you know, are the containers mostly for focal points, or how do you like to use them?
Well, because when we had the stone patio extended out past the den, first of all, it had to look good because my den has like a 27-foot wall of glass.
So if I'm gonna look at this, it better be good.
Right.
I hear that.
So because the patio is so, I mean, it's like 27 by 40 with that fish pool. What I've done is use containers and group them in little clusters, if you will, and mostly annuals. I try to, you know, do some perennials that'll come back every year, but mostly fun, colorful annuals, because I'm not a digger. I mean, I will if I have to dig in the actual earth, but pots are much more my style. And what's fun is you can change the palette season by season. I used to love cool pinks. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing bright and hot. Mm-hmm. I love whites, pale pinks, lipstick pinks,
you know,
bluey reds. Well, then I acquired 16 Italian tiles, had a table made, and they're all hot colors. So, bing, I changed
all
my
of a sudden
palette.
Your palette changed.
Now, everything is orange, yeah, Sicilian. It's like little Sicily out there.
And, of course, if you do that in containers, you can even paint the container if you want to. I mean, you know, you can
exactly.
Change all of that.
So,
yes.
So it's fun to kind of go with that. And so again, no year is ever the same because you never know what nature will do to you. But that's kind of the fun of it. And as far as now, we have it's an acre shaped oddly. I mean, it's not even it's like a seven corner.
I understand.
Weird shaped acre.
No, I understand.
But most of it is wild woodland. This was going to be our last house, and we thought we're crazy to take on this kind of maintenance. But actually, the mowing area in the back is pretty tiny.
Well,
everything
else. I'm sure you have found, as I have, that the wooded area does kind of take care of itself.
There are parts of it I've never even walked through. Mm-hmm. There's no telling what somebody could be camped out down there. I don't know.
Well, I used to have a walking path. I have a little bit less than an acre, but now it's gotten overgrown on one corner. And when the buckeyes make and the altheas begin to bloom, it's like brand new every year for me, you know. So I'm so surprised.
Oh, I know.
Look,
aren't
you know.
Aren't the Buckeyes wonderful?
But delightful
and they are
trees.
Just proliferating down there.
That's great. And it's a good place for them. That's wonderful. I so appreciate you taking time to be with us today, Brenda. I want to let people know they need to get themselves to FondrenGardenTour.com. It's that simple. And don't miss the magazine. Rebecca has worked so hard on this. She's our fearless leader at Fondren Renaissance. And what we are looking at is a beautiful. I've given Guillermo a couple of credits on this one. He's Just Vanilla Garden, Just Vanilla Bakery. He designed the logo. But we've got a wonderful message from Jay Lee. We've got some really very cool explanations of the schedule because it's complicated. And also some other things about Fondren that you might not know already about where to eat and how what we have going on all of the time and publications and things. There's just, I really so greatly appreciate Super Talk being part of this effort and giving us a chance to take the show over to the station. It's going to be fun. So thank you, Brenda. I look forward to seeing your garden. We do get a chance to have a little pre-tour with those of us who haven't, because gardeners don't go look at each other's yards all the time. We're too busy working in our own. So I appreciate them giving us an opportunity to come and visit. We're looking at hummingbirds.
Well, I can't wait to see yours, Nellie. I know.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate you. I'm serious. But I do not have beautiful stonework. I do not have a gorgeous pond. I have a plant collection. And it gives me as much joy as yours gives you. It's just a different world, and that's part of the reason to come to Fondren. We're a very
Absolutely.
Diverse place. We're a very mixed cultural place, and we really like it that way, don't we, Brenda?
We love it that way. Come see us.
Thank you, ma'am. Good to talk to you today. I'll see you very soon. You know, one of the
Thank
things
you.
That gives us a lot of joy in the garden world is the time that we spend. And the time that we spend sometimes shows and sometimes doesn't. I thought that this particular bit of information that came to me this week helps. How many times have you been out in your garden and said to yourself, well, that was terrible. Now I itch. I have one on my shoulder right now. I had on repellents. I wear enough clothes and still something managed to bite me. Well, hallelujah. Massachusetts General in Brigham, they have identified a mechanism as to why some people itch from one allergen and others do not. Now, I'm going to tell you that I was today years old before I found out that indeed different things make different people itch. Guess what? I'm allergic to my sunscreen. For those of you who saw me earlier this summer and I looked like I was sweating my head off, well, it was my sunscreen. I don't do that anymore. I changed products. Been wearing that for 10 years and all of a sudden I developed an allergy to it. That's what we do in the garden. We learn something new every year and we figure it out if it didn't work and we figure out how to make it work. That's what we're doing in Fondren and I hope you'll come and see us. Guess what? He's got pictures of Hawk up there on the supertalk.tv, some more butterflies, some more hummingbirds. It's a big day here on the Garden Mama Show.
We are the people. Mississippians, we are the land, growing food, fiber, and timber. We are there when you need us, from the roof over your head to the food on your table. We are small town, but big moments, your next door neighbors. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome in. Indeed, there's things to plant, my friends. Did you know that? Yep, there's winter annuals. And indeed, if you're not getting with it, you better hurry up. Whether you're going with seeds or plants, now is the time to put in the dill, the parsley, the coriander, and the fennel. I know, it's the big controversy. The whole fennel. Is fennel good or is fennel not? Well, okay, I can take a little bit of it. I'm probably not going to plant any, but if you're growing some and you want to share it, I'm there for a little bit. I'm more likely to be planting the coriander, the parsley, and the dill. And it is time for garlic. Okay, so don't forget the garlic. I've been holding on to that garlic pod, waiting for September to plant it, because I found one that has almost purple pods, purple cloves. Those tend to be spicier, and indeed this one is a little bit spicier than the others that I had in my possession, so I'm going to plant it. We'll see how it turns out. Jeb's on the line. Welcome in, Jeb. Good morning.
I just wanted to call and let you know how much I love hearing your show every Saturday, and just let everybody know that when you're on, I never move that dial.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you, Jeb. I hope you have
And one more question. Mm-hmm. And on a golden barrel cactus, can you move them right now or not? Because a friend gave me one.
No. If I have a barrel cactus, I'm going to leave it right where it is. It's a plant. It's tropical, and it needs to have it needs to be in the same container for a very long time, years, in fact. Thank you for calling. Appreciate that. Now, if you're going to plant that garlic, okay, trust me, you need to dig. It needs to be 3 or 4 inches deep. We often talk about making sure that the bulb is no more than twice as deep as it is tall. When you plant tulips, you might read something that'll tell you to put 6 inches deep, depending on what you're reading. If you do that in our soils, you're not going to see the bulb again. So again, in the case of garlic, also, you don't want to put it any more than twice as deep as it is tall, but you do need to do that. You need to get it in the ground, maybe 3 inches if it's an inch and a half tall. It's real important to do that. Go ahead and give each garlic clove about the space of from your thumb to your little finger, 4 or 5 inches across there. Indeed, separate, but do not peel those cloves. The paper-ish covering on the clove will actually help it to sprout and keep it from rotting. It's also time, by the way, to sow that seed for spinach. I left that off my list. So if you haven't done that yet, it's time. And in fact, this is the best time of year to grow spinach in the Deep South is absolutely the fall. People grow it in the springtime, but we end up having less predictable weather, and that causes other issues, of course. Someone was asking me about tools this week, and I was happy to say that I do think, the question was, I've got too many pruners. I don't know how can you have too many pruners if they all work, because they do different things. You got anvil pruners. You have some pruners that actually cut and clip the stem, so it's easier to harvest flowers like roses and stuff. That's one sort. I use a pair that has a very pointy end on it for some things, but there are others that I need a wider blade. So try them on. See how they feel in your hand, make sure your grips and stuff are working. Then you basically know what you want to shop for when you're going to get gifts for other people. If you give people tools, you need to kind of have an idea of how the tools work and exactly what it is that, who they're going to fit. The same thing is not going to fit into a small person's hand that's going to fit into a big chunky person like me. So try them on before you buy, as they say so often in so many different kinds of advertising. I think it's important. The Dictionary of Termites has been rewritten, and you may not want to know this. Oh, dear. This is work from the Okinawa Institute of Science. They are very familiar, as we are, with termites. For more information, see the name Formosan termites, all right? This is a terrible thing. Just the same thing is, infrastructure is always at risk. And then it's also true that you need to know which one you are working against to know how to deal with them. So having done this new classification system, it took 45 different researchers to put this together, and I'm just wondering if it's possible that we can know too much. Is that possible? I guess we could. That's cute. That's funny. Let's see. Really, Bill, these are just lovely. Bill's got his great feeders. These are delightful. I love having that suction cup feeder on the window so that you can see them from the indoors and not disturb them. It's just beautiful. Just lovely. Thank you very much for listening to the show and watching it. I appreciate that. Oh, that's amazing. Let's see now. Can we prune down now that it's not in bloom? And what you have here is known as a snowball bush or a snowball viburnum. It's best pruned right after the flowers, but if you feel like you have to take it down, just be aware that you're damaging the wood that's going to bloom next year. So if you start to trim it, you will have less flowers. But if you just need to lower the height of it and you take off a foot across the top, you won't notice as long as you don't cut into the interior and don't cut into the branches that are remaining. So you can do it. The question of pruning at this time of year always becomes, how much time do we have where you are before the really cold weather hits us? Because we don't want, you know, pruning stimulates growth. That's one of the things it's good for. And in this case, it might send out new leaves that will then be a little bit weakened by any cold weather that comes along. And then you turn around from that and you have to go and prune it again in the springtime. So again, you've lost more flowers. So it's a practical consideration. If it needs to be shortened because it's in the way of something else, go ahead and do that. But don't cut the edges. Don't cut anything that you want to leave to bloom. On the other hand, if you feel like it's going to get cold really early, you're looking for an early winter, you don't want to damage that new growth, just prune it off next spring. It'll be fine. Either way can work. It is an absolutely beautiful plant, though. And, wow. By the way, those flowers on the snowball viburnum dry as well as the hydrangeas do. The hydrangea flowers, the big round French hydrangea flowers, they're just beautiful, and they make lovely, lovely ornamental topiary things and fill up vases with them. Just beautiful, beautiful plants. This has been quite a busy day. My goodness, I didn't realize we were already to the end of time here today. Well, maybe you don't want to know this, but I've got to tell it to you. We always talk about crows learning to use tools. What do you think? Can humpbacks use tools, Lance? What do you think? I don't know. What do you think?
Humpback? I don't know. Toothbrush, maybe, or...
See, that worked. They manufacture and they use tools. Uh-huh. You think it went... Now, how did we figure this out? Jacques Cousteau didn't tell us. I love this. This is from the University of Hawaii at Manoa. Beautiful place, by the way. They have created a new designation of the humpback. They already started studying them, and now they have a new name, the tool wielders. Couldn't they have come up with something a little romantic?
That's not true.
I like it, though. Humpbacks use tools. Now we got to figure out how to get those tool belts on them. Well, anyway.
Yeah, let's not figure out a way to put them to work.
That'll be a little too difficult. I'd rather just watch them. Stick around. I'll be joining Buddy on his show for a few minutes this morning. Meanwhile, come back again here next week, and let's do some more Garden Mama Show.
SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.ms.gov.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too.
At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
If your engine is
a Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.